And now here's your moderator, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, Debbie, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. We hope you had a wonderful weekend. We certainly had a wonderful day here, this being our 20th anniversary, so we hope you will call and help us celebrate. The number is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. We'll be taking your questions on current events, movies, history, literature, geography, and just about everything else. And hopefully all the people that were here at the party we had at the station, some of them will call in. They're not all in their cars saying, I wish I could call in, but I don't want to get pulled over by the CHP and that kind of thing. So give us a call, 415-841-4134. Look, we have a call right in. Gareth is sitting in the studio and can't call, so it's obviously not you. So I don't know who this is. So 415-841-4134. Minds Over Matter is an interactive quiz show, and as I said, we've been on for 20 years. Our email address is mindsovermatter@yahoo.com. That's mindsovermatter@yahoo.com. We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to email us, you can do that anytime. We don't read them on the air, but in case they're, you know, salacious, it's mindsovermatter@yahoo.com. If you'd like to hear our show online, you can do that anywhere in the world as we know it today, simply by going to kalw.org. That's kalw.org. And you can get a podcast of this show afterwards simply by going to kalw.org, because Debbie Kennedy is working the board, and she always does a fantastic job. So we're going to start with a round of introductions and a round of questions. I'm sorry, I'm working off a piece of chocolate cake. And here's the first. Fans of Minds Over Matter will be happy to hear that, comma, despite his international fame, Jerry Nachman is still the same humble lad he was in 1993 when the show first began, and that he still treats his fellow panelists as equals. That's big of you. He just wishes they would treat him the same. Well, good luck with that.
Okay. Well, Leah Garchick is proud of Minds Over Matter celebrating its 20th anniversary, but if it lasts another 20 years, we'll have to answer questions based on what we've forgotten.
Our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, wishes to announce that after 20 years, Minds Over Matter has worked its way up from nothing to a state of extreme poverty.
There we go. And that's a Groucho Marx line. I have to give credit where credit is due. So we'll begin the questioning as usual with Jerry Nachman.
Okay. To begin our 21st year.
That's right, yeah.
Who is the first woman to win a Pulitzer Prize?
Pulitzer Prize. I'm going to get emails about that.
All right. Who is the first woman to win a Pulitzer Prize?
All right, there we go.
Not very well remembered today, at least not by me.
Oh. Adela Rogers St. John?
No.
Olive Smith Prowdy?
Olive Higgins Prowdy.
Olive Higgins Prowdy, excuse me?
Stella Dallas?
Yeah,
no. It was an author, not a journalist.
So it was this was for a novel?
I believe so, yeah.
And the woman is not well known today.
Yeah, and I don't know what decade, so don't ask me that.
Well,
she's not, you don't hear her name.
It would have been, I think it would have been in the teens. Yeah, I think they started in the
probably
teens.
Probably so, yeah. Uh-huh.
Oh, Gail, Zona Gale?
Yes.
Oh, very
good.
How did you read that in a story about Minds Over Matter? And I saw that play last night.
Was that in a story on Minds Over Matter?
No.
I mean, in a story about word for word.
Ah, right. Okay.
Oh, interesting.
In the production, it's their 20th anniversary, too. So
what was the work, Leah?
Well, this one, I don't know which one she won the Pulitzer for. The one that they're doing at Minds at Word for Word is called In Friendship.
Zona Gale, that's correct.
She was from Wisconsin. She was pretty political. She was a feminist and a suffragist and all that.
Interesting.
Excellent.
All right, give us another question, Jerry.
Oh, well, okay. What two celebrities, living or dead, have the highest so-called Q rating? That's the public awareness.
Living or dead?
Yeah.
Oprah.
No.
Is Elvis one of them?
No.
God.
The first place has 97% awareness rating, and second place has 96% awareness rating. One is a man, one is a woman.
Michael Jackson.
No.
Nice try.
No. I was a little surprised by...
So wait a minute now. All right, go over the whole question once more, would you?
What two celebrities, living or dead, have the highest so-called Q public awareness rating? This is used by advertisers.
Necessarily entertainers?
They aren't necessarily entertainers, but they are.
They are.
Yeah.
So, and when you say living or dead, could one of them be living and one of them be dead, or both living or both dead?
Well, they're both dead.
Okay. That helps. Yeah. A little bit.
Yeah.
They're both dead celebrities. Marilyn Monroe.
No.
Come on, you guys. Don't just sit there.
Harold Stassen.
<can't hear>.
Harold Stassen.
Nope.
No, I don't know.
Okay, we'll let the public.
All right.
The listeners.
And the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. This is Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. This is our 20th anniversary. 415-841-4134. Leah, why don't you go ahead?
Okay, I'm going to start with Tune That Name, a very easy one.
They're never easy to Jerry and I.
This is another backwards song.
This is very easy.
Really?
Yeah, it's a backwards one, and it's only a few notes long.
All right.
Okay. I'm very self-conscious because Ben Fong-Torres wrote that I've flubbed.
Oh. Yeah, okay. Even I might get this.
It's the Star-Spangled Banner?
Yes.
I got one.
But it sounded the same backwards that it does forwards.
Yeah, I know. That's why I got it.
No, it's different. It's different.
Really?
Yeah.
Do that once
can
more.
Can I ask another?
Can you do it once more?
You want me to do it the right way?
No, I want you to do it the backwards way.
It's the
way.
First time I ever got one of those.
Oh, it sounds the same to me.
Well, a couple of the notes may be the same.
Yeah. Enough.
A couple of the
enough.
Notes, because yeah. the passage goes.
Da-da,
right,
da-da, yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
can I ask another question?
Yes.
Okay, this is from Dave Martin, who is here somewhere.
Oh, yeah, he went home. But he went home, but
I said I was going to ask his question.
Good, I'm glad.
Okay.
Our oldest listener, I think.
Okay, in 1932, Bing Crosby recorded the only song he ever recorded in San Francisco at a big recording studio that was at Fifth and Mission, actually, called Solly McGregor. What was that song?
Oh. It's a very well-known song.
The only sing.
Very well-known song.
Can I ask you this? Did he record it by himself? In other words, he didn't have any other singers on it?
No, but it was Ants and Weeks Orchestra who was behind him.
But it's still a well-known title.
Is it You're Getting to Be a Habit with Me?
No.
1923?
No, 1932.
32. Wow.
I think I've heard of it.
Well, you've heard of a lot of songs, so let's see.
Is it a movie song, or do you know? Does it ring a bell with you?
Oh, did he say, was somebody listening to our conversation? Was it a movie song?
No.
Was somebody?
Is he particularly identified with the song?
I think he said it was a movie song, yeah.
Is he
particularly identified with the song?
Bing Crosby?
Yeah. Or a lot of people have sung it.
No, I think he was the first to.
The first, right. Well, the first.
No, that's later. That's later. I'm sorry, I'm referring to one of our guests.
I'll give you another clue because it's kind of obscure.
Yeah. Okay, good, yeah.
It's a one-word title.
Oh. Shine?
No. Huh.
One-word title. All right. Let me think it over. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7. Hope you're enjoying the show. Let's take a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. This is Ahosion in San Francisco.
Hello.
Happy to join your anniversary.
Thank you. You missed the cake, but... Thank you.
Huh?
You missed our cake, but thank you.
I missed your cake? Oh, no. Well,
there's still a lot left. Come on down.
Yeah, there's plenty left. Don't worry.
Save me some crumbs. I would like to try the public awareness question.
Sure.
And I have a bit of trivia. So mine is two parts.
All right.
Okay. Madonna?
No.
Wow. Okay, because she makes her money all over the world.
That's true.
But anyway, here's my trivia question. And it took me years myself to figure it out. Who in the famous movie with Audrey Hepburn, Breakfast at Tiffany's, at the great party scene. Who was the liquor delivery boy?
In what film?
Who was the liquor delivery boy in the party scene in Breakfast at Tiffany's?
Yep.
It
took me watching it 100 times to go, oh, my God.
So he later went on to become a big star.
Yep.
Wow.
Liquor delivery boy.
Could be anybody.
Give us a hint on the person.
A hint?
Well, yeah. Were they a movie star?
He looked the same in his, it was probably an Oscar-winning role for a pretty timeless movie with great stars in it. And he not only delivers the liquor, because Audrey says, oh, reinforcements! And there he comes in with a box full of liquor bottles. And then when the police are coming, everybody's hopping up and down and dancing, and there's a front shot of him with his arm around a blonde, and they're hopping up and down. You actually get to see him twice. And
we need a little more.
No.
A little narrow down a little more.
We're not getting it.
Okay. He made his break in the late 60s.
Yeah. Is it somebody like Dustin Hoffman?
Exactly.
Wow.
That's just a guess.
Yeah.
Great.
You really have to watch it and pause your film viewer to see it.
I'll give you one to kind of match that. Do you know who the policeman was in Psycho who takes Norman Bates into his holding room?
I'm not only a woman, I shower, and I shower less because of that movie. I hate that movie. I can't name it.
Well, the policeman that takes Norman Bates at the end of the movie into the holding room is Ted Knight. Very recognizable. Totally recognizable, yes.
Wow, a serious role for him.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
All right. Let me do a couple questions here. The best-selling U.S. song of the 19th century is also an official state song. What is it? The best-selling song in the United States of the 19th century...
My Old Kentucky Home.
No, it's a good guess, but no. The best-selling U.S. song of the 19th century is also an official state song. Very familiar song. Nothing.
Is it a Stephen Foster song?
It is not Stephen Foster. No.
19th century.
Mm. 19th century. Late 19th century. Mm. All right, think it over.
So that state is mentioned by name in the song?
Yes. Somewhere in the lyrics it is mentioned, yes. Not in the title. But it's a very, very familiar song. The best-selling U.S. song of the 19th century is also an official state song. What is it?
Oh, Susanna?
No.
Oh, you said it wasn't Stephen Foster. Sorry.
No. And, all right, second question. Woody Guthrie wrote the official state song for what state and what is the name of the song? Woody Guthrie wrote the official state song for what state and what is the name of the song?
It must have been for Oklahoma.
It is not for Oklahoma, believe it or not.
Oh.
The official state song of Oklahoma is Oklahoma.
Oklahoma, yeah.
Is Rodgers and Hammerstein?
Yeah, that's the only Broadway song that's an official state song. So Woody Guthrie wrote the official state song for what state and what is the song? I will try to give you a hint here. It is west of the Mississippi, okay? The state. So once more, Woody Guthrie wrote the official state song for what state and what is the song? Or which state and what is the song? Mm. And the first question was, the best-selling U.S. song of the 19th century is also an official state song. What is it? And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is David from Oakland.
Hi, go ahead, please.
This is David from Oakland.
Yes.
First of all, congratulations on the anniversary.
Thank you very much.
Jerry, on your question about the Q rating, was the woman an entertainer as well, or just the man?
Both.
They both were. Okay, I was going to say Princess Diana, but...
No.
Yeah, okay. All right. Then I don't have an answer for that then. Is the same song, is Swanee?
It is not Swanee.
It's not Swanee.
Not Swanee. Uh-uh.
Okay. Okay, well, I have a question as well.
Yes.
For you. What do Michael Keaton, David Bowie, and Stuart Granger have in common?
Michael Keaton, David Bowie. Were their original names all names of movie stars?
Exactly. They had to change their names.
I know Stuart Granger's original name was James Stewart.
Right. Yes, Michael Keaton's is actually Michael Douglas.
Okay.
David Bowie's name is David Jones from the Monkees.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Thank you.
Congratulations again.
Yes.
I think Woody Guthrie's song is Roll on Columbia.
You're right.
And that's Oregon.
Yes. Oh. Very good. No, it's not Oregon.
It's Washington.
Washington, yes.
Washington.
Yes. The Woody Guthrie song, the official state song he wrote is Roll on Columbia, Roll on. That is the state song of Washington. Very good. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Harry and Susan in Berkeley.
Hello.
Hi, happy anniversary.
Thank you.
The Q quotient. Is it is the man John Wayne?
It is John Wayne.
Ah, John Wayne, yes.
Very good.
Very good.
And is the woman Elizabeth Taylor?
No.
Do I get one more guess?
Sure.
Sophia Loren?
No.
Sophia Loren. Interesting.
No. American. She's American.
Oh, she's American.
Yeah.
Oh, Grace Kelly.
No.
All right. Thanks.
Oh, somebody in the studio has guessed Shirley Temple.
No.
All right. You're about 50 years out of date, Greg.
Well, if it's John Wayne.
Yeah, that's true. But John Wayne was, yeah, well, that's true, yeah. And Jerry, it's your turn.
Okay. What woman is now being considered to replace the only non-royal female on British currency? And two bells, if you can name the former woman on British currency being replaced by Winston Churchill.
A former woman?
Was it? Once more, Jerry, and take it slow.
Forget the woman. What woman is now being considered to replace the only non-royal female on British currency? That's number one. Number two, two bells, if you can name the woman on British currency who's being replaced by Winston Churchill.
I'm not sure of the woman being replaced, but the one that's being considered as a replacement is Jane Austen.
That's correct. It's very controversial. Yeah.
But I think that's a done deal now. I think it's going to happen.
Maybe. Okay.
Yeah.
It's pretty much one. Yeah.
And then there some men had been.
So who was the only woman before Austen
protesting
who was being replaced by Winston Churchill?
Mm-hmm.
Much harder. I never heard of her. Most of us haven't, I think.
I don't know. Is it? Is it a non-royal?
Yes.
Not Ada Lovelace.
Linda Lovelace?
No, Ada.
No, no.
Is it Emily Pankhurst?
No.
Or Florence Nightingale?
Yeah,
no.
That's good. That's
no,
good.
No, that's a good one. No.
But it's not a royal. Is this somebody...
Miss Marple?
Is this somebody who... in a historical sense or a literary sense?
Historical.
Historical. But it's not a royal.
Political personage.
Oh, it's not Margaret Thatcher, obviously.
No.
It's too late.
Not anyone who was beheaded.
I don't think so.
Huh.
Fergie. No.
Fergie.
And this person is long dead.
I think so.
You think so?
Yeah, she is long dead.
All right. You're sure about that? I don't know.
Well, I don't know.
Seem a little dubious.
Long dead.
All right.
Before me.
Okay.
Which makes her long dead.
Long dead. All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi.
Hi.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you.
Is the song that Bing Crosby recorded in San Francisco, is it Smile?
Not Smile.
No. No, no.
You mean the Chaplin song, Smile?
Smile, the Chaplin song.
Right.
No.
That would have been... No, yeah.
Mm-mm. Nope.
And is the woman, the most famous Q woman, is that Lucille Ball?
It is.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, very good. Very good.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And if you'd like to join us here on Minds Over Matter with a question or answer, the number is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. You're listening to No Secret here, Minds Over Matter. We are here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Our panel tonight is author Jerry Nachman. From the San Francisco Chronicle, columnist Leah Garchik. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. And you're listening to us on, in case you're unsure, 91.7 FM. That's KALW, your local public radio station. So, let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Okay. How are you?
Good, thank you.
You got the one about the you got the one about the most famous ones, but I think the state song you're looking for, I think it's the Tennessee Waltz.
It is not the Tennessee Waltz.
Really?
Honest.
Well, the only other one it could possibly be would be Georgia on My Mind.
It is not Georgia on My Mind.
Well,
this is 19th century.
Leah got it.
Is this?
No,
are
I
you,
got the. Are you? What do, he got through.
Let me just make sure the question you're referring to. Are you? I asked two questions that are sort of similar. The best-selling U.S. song of the 19th century is also a official state song. Is that the one you were answering?
Yes.
Okay. No, it is not any of those.
Okay, I've got a question for you guys.
Yes.
Kind of along the same lines.
All right.
The only hit song ever written by a U.S. president or vice president was written by a vice president in the 1920s. What's the song and who's the artist that it's usually associated with? I'll give you a hint. The artist that it's usually associated with had a hit with it twice. In 1951, he had a top 20 record. It was done in a waltz time. But in 1958/59, it was a number one song. And it was done more like a rock and roll ballad, you know, with the piano triplets in the background.
Well, the song is It's All in the Game.
That's
the song. And the vice president was Dawes.
That's right.
Charles Gates Dawes. He just wrote the melody, and I think it was picked up later, and words were put to it. So I think this was long after he had died.
I think that's correct.
Now, who had the big hit with it?
It's All in the Game.
Yeah.
He had a string of hits, mostly in the 50s up through about 1960. Virtually all of his hits were from like 1950 to maybe 1960 or 61.
Was it a male or female singer?
He was a male.
Male.
And
yes.
He is deceased.
Tommy Edwards. Tommy Edwards.
Tommy Edwards.
That is correct.
Thank you,
okay.
Audience. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Is the state song...
I couldn't have done it without you.
The Yellow Rose of Texas?
It is not the Yellow Rose of Texas.
Good guess.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Thomas in Berkeley.
Hey, Thomas. Where were you today?
Yeah.
I went to the place where I send the check, and there's nothing there at 500 Mansell.
Oh, is this the dummy office in Nigeria that they use or something?
I don't know. I went to that address, and there's only 400 and then 620.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry.
Really?
No 500.
That's news to everybody.
Oh, that's terrible. There's all this food left over.
Because is it somewhere else?
No.
It's 500 Mansell Street.
Well, where?
But it's very hard to find.
But you have to come down the...
It's
down
very tucked
Bowdoin.
Away, yeah.
Yeah, you and have to go down Bowdoin, and it's in the Portola District, so you get off at Paul Street and go
it's
up.
It's very, very difficult.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry you didn't get here.
Well, I am sorry, too. But I thought I would call in with my questions that I had.
Okay.
Okay. So I was on vacation, and I learned this. So why do they paint barns red?
Why do they paint barns red?
Mm-hmm.
This is like a vaudeville show from 1910. Why do they paint barns red?
So the bulls won't attack it.
No, the bulls would attack it.
They
if
would
it was
attack
painted
it.
Red.
So the bulls, well, the cows wouldn't attack it then. I don't know.
Never
so
mind.
So anyway, the red is a tradition, which is a carryover from the time when they did paint them red. And the reason they turned red was they used linseed oil to kind of hold things together, you know, make things safe. And then on the paint, they put rust in it, which turned red. And the rust was supposed to kill fungi and moth.
Oh, okay.
Why do they? Is that the same reason they used to paint schoolhouses red?
So the rust, the red was...
Why were schoolhouses painted red? Do you know that?
Due to the rust that killed the
fungi
and moths.
Okay.
And the linseed oil was just sort of like...
Do you think that holds true for the schoolhouses, too?
I don't know.
Because they're all red.
Huh.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
And my other question was, do you guys know about the state of Jefferson?
Yes, the state of Jefferson. Is that the one that the part of California that was going to be? Because there was the state of Franco, and then that was part of Tennessee, and then the state of Jefferson was the northern, the far northern part of California that was going to succeed.
Right.
Years and years ago.
So my question was, what other states considered using the Jefferson for their state?
Mm. That I'm not sure about. Oh, really? Okay, we have a suggestion from the audience that says Oregon.
No, actually, most of Colorado was going to go with Jefferson, and the Texas Panhandle was going to become Jefferson.
Oh, so Colorado and the Texas Panhandle?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's all I got, and I will enjoy. I'm so sorry I missed all of
it. I'm sorry you didn't make it here, too.
But I was on vacation. I probably would have had a better clue if I'd been listening all the time.
All right. Take care, Thomas.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
Dana,
yes.
Is it Carolina Moon?
You're going to keep working at this, aren't you?
Yeah,
no,
Carolina Moon?
Not Carolina Moon.
Hmm.
And it's your turn, I think, Lee.
Okay, what's the only number in the English language that has its letters in alphabetical order?
It's a single-digit number, isn't it?
I'm not saying.
Is it 8?
No.
That's right, though.
No, it isn't. I.
Oh, yeah, that's right. G. Okay, you're right. Okay.
Eat your heart out.
This has come up. This has come up on the show. And it's a single digit number, I think.
4. No.
No.
Why
U before R?
Oh, yeah.
I don't have to think about this. All right, I have to think about this while we take another call. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Yeah, hi, this is Dennis from San Francisco.
Hello.
Congratulations. Is the state song You Are My Sunshine?
Not You Are My Sunshine.
Okay, that's all I got.
Thank you very much.
Oh.
All right. You may get this because I think you wrote in your column you were at this play. All the characters in Harold Pinter's play No Man's Land, which is now playing in Berkeley, the characters are Hurst, Spooner, Foster, and Briggs. What do they all have in common, those names?
Say that again.
All the characters in Harold Pinter's play No Man's Land, which is playing over at the Berkeley Rep, Hurst, Spooner, Foster, and Briggs, all those names were picked for a reason. What is it? What do those names have in common?
I read something about this, but I don't remember.
This is very indicative of Harold Pinter, something he would do. Because it's something he's interested in.
Spooner.
Well, you can't really tell just by the names. I mean, the names obviously there are a help, but I'll give you the names. It's Hurst, H-I-R-S-T, Spooner, Foster, and Briggs. All those names have something in common, and Pinter picked them for a reason. It's something he's very interested in.
I don't know.
All right.
A member of our audience here has guessed the number 40.
Well, very good.
Yes.
Thank you, audience. 40. Very
and
good.
Is it way back home in Indiana?
No.
All these great songs are going through my head.
I know.
All right, I'm going to give you
home in Indiana.
No. I'm going to give you one more question here. What was the first U.S. magazine to reach 1 million subscribers? What was the first magazine to reach, U.S. magazine, to reach 1 million subscribers?
TV Guide.
It was in 1907, so it's not TV Guide.
Oh, no, okay. Vaudeville Guide. No, let's see. Wow.
What was the first U.S. magazine to reach 1 million subscribers, 1907?
1911.
It is not. Debbie has said in my ear, Reader's Digest or National Geographic. It's neither one.
Boy's Life.
No, it's not Boy's Life.
Collier's?
Collier's. That's an interesting guess. No. Mm-mm.
Saturday Evening Post.
No. Okay. You each had 50 guesses. And so what was the first U.S. magazine to reach 1 million subscribers? It was in 1907. And the all the characters in Harold Pinter's play No Man's Land, which is playing at the Berkeley Rep, Hearst, Spooner, Foster, and Briggs have something in common.
They're all in a play by Harold Pinter.
No. He picked those names for a very particular reason.
They're all friends of his.
And it's something he's very interested in. So,
well, who knows? You can't figure out the plots. How are you going to figure out the characters?
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Is that me?
It is you.
I'd like to answer the question. Is it for the song of the 19th century?
Yes.
Is it Shenandoah?
It is not Shenandoah.
Oof. And then I have a question for you guys.
Okay.
Who is the only baseball player to have played for all of the original New York baseball teams, including the Mets? So the Yankees, the Dodgers, the Giants, and the Mets.
So the only baseball player to play for all the major league baseball teams in New York. All the original baseball teams in New York. Okay.
Correct.
Mets, Yankees, Giants.
And Dodgers.
And what this person is circa what, would you say?
He would be in the modern era.
Yeah, the Mets were,
So, okay.
Not Dykstra.
No.
Nope.
No, further back.
Is this, let's see, the Mets were late 50s, early 60s?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Late 60s, yeah.
Oh, really? Okay. Debbie suggests Joe Pignatano.
Nope.
Well,
Joe Pepitone.
Nope.
It's not Dom DiMaggio. I know that.
No.
And, gosh. Okay. So is this person in the Baseball Hall of Fame by any chance?
Oh,
No, they're not.
They're not.
Leo DeRocher.
Nope.
Was this person ever a manager?
He's still alive. He's a player.
Oh, he's still alive.
Yeah.
Okay.
Gee.
No. Do you know? Anyone take another guess? No?
No?
No, we don't know.
It's Daryl Strawberry.
Wow.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, gosh.
Interesting.
Yankees and, okay.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Happy anniversary.
Thank you. Appreciate it. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, is it me?
It is you.
Wonderful. This is Megan. I'm calling from San Francisco.
Hi.
Hello. Happy anniversary.
Thank you.
I have an answer for the Bing Crosby question.
Oh, all right.
Was it Please?
Yes.
Oh, very good.
Good for you.
Very good. That deserves two
Excellent.
Bells.
How did you know that?
We happen to have a biography of Bing Crosby, Pocket Full of Dreams.
That's that is an excellent book, don't you think?
Just lying around the house.
Yeah, it's a very good book.
Is that it's an old biography?
That's it? It was like 10 years old.
Pocket
That's the one with Gary Gary Giddens. It's really very good.
Giddens, yeah.
The early years. 1940.
Yes.
I got to get that. That's good.
Good job. Thank you.
All right. Have a good one.
All right. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7. If you'd like to join us, the number is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. And Jerry, it's your turn.
Okay. Detroit, as we know, has just declared an $18 billion bankruptcy. But where is the country's second largest municipal bankruptcy? It's a region, not a city.
It's a county, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't Orange County. It was...
Orange County, hardly, yeah.
It was I thought it was in Southern California or something. San Bernardino?
No. Not in California.
It's not in California.
I love the format.
Yeah.
This is great.
It's just trying to confuse the moderator. And, okay, so wait a minute now. So it's a county, but it's not in California. Isn't it in the West? Is it in the West someplace?
I don't know if I should tell you that. No.
Well, if you don't, who will?
No, I'll tell you.
All right.
If I don't, yeah. No more hints.
Is it like Oakland County, Michigan, or something like that?
Something like that, of course.
Something like that,
I said it was
but not
county.
That.
Yeah.
All right, fine. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Was it like that enough to give me that?
No.
No, okay, fine. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Is that me?
It is you.
Okay. New listener, Chris from Sunnyvale.
Hi, Chris.
I apologize if someone has already guessed this, but I will guess My Old Kentucky Home by Stephen Foster.
It is not My Old Kentucky Home.
That was Leah's first guess, yeah.
Okay, and then I'll give you one very lame additional answer to your question about numbers in alphabetical order.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. E.
E?
Sorry. You know, 2.71828, et cetera.
Oh, I see.
Sorry.
Oh, okay.
Thank you very much.
Anyway, the show's great. Thanks a lot.
I appreciate it.
Bye.
Thanks a lot. And Leah, it's your turn.
Okay. The Wabash Cannonball?
No.
Wabash Cannonball. I was going to get that.
Oh, well. Okay, I'm going to do another tune that name. Okay. It's pretty easy, actually. I didn't flub it.
Sounds like a samba.
I don't know. I got mine for the decade.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like the beginning to An American in Paris.
No.
See, I'm going way over the top.
We both have 10 ears.
Yeah.
Shall I do it once more?
Okay. Yes, yes.
Here's a backwards phrase. It's backwards. It's a song that you all know.
Okay. This is the chorus, too.
It's the first. No, it's, well, it's, yeah, it's the first.
All right.
It's not the bridge. It's
Merrily
the main
roll
part.
Along?
No.
No. No. Mm-mm. All right. My record is unblemished. I've never gotten any of this. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey, Jerry and Dana, it's Rich Lieberman.
Hey, Rich.
Hi, Rich.
Hi, Leah.
Hi.
That was an air raid siren you just played. Anyway, I have some questions for you guys.
All right. Two All questions, right, no more than two.
So real quickly, sports, how many outs in an inning?
This is a trick question. Five.
No.
Six.
Yeah, six.
Oh, six. Well,
six. Good
that's
job.
That's too easy. Come on.
Good. All right.
Question number two, what is the second largest county in California?
Largest town in...
No, the second largest county.
Okay, but large in the sense
population
of population or large in the sense of area?
Area and population, actually, too.
Well, I think San Bernardino's the largest.
You got it. You got San Bernardino. Give me the five states whose state capitals have the same letter as the state.
This has come up.
Have the same letter? You mean begin with the same letter?
Dover, Delaware.
That's one.
Oh, yeah. Indianapolis, Indiana.
Indianapolis, Indiana.
That's two.
Honolulu, Hawaii.
That's three. Missed the easiest.
I'm sure we did. Oh, boy. Is it enough? I got Dover, Delaware. All right, fill it in, Rich.
Let's play with that.
Yeah,
you want to
play with
that?
How many more? We have two more?
Yeah, two more to go. One of them is from a play, which you sang a little while ago.
Oklahoma.
Oh, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Okay, then there's one more.
Okay.
What is it, east or west of the Mississippi?
I can't answer that question.
Unless it's...
Come on.
Minneapolis, Minnesota.
No, that's St. Paul.
St. Paul. Oh, close.
You can't answer that question. Let's see. Well, I can't answer it either, so we have that in common.
What's the capital of Kansas?
Topeka. No, what is it, Rich? Are you there? No? We lost him? Okay. Sorry. So now Give us a call back if you want.
We'll just have to guess.
We can look it up.
Okay.
All right.
Anchorage, Alaska.
Ooh, we're getting late in the show.
Juno's in
That's
Alaska.
Juno,
Oh,
yeah.
It's Juno. Well.
Thanks to the chaotic nature of tonight's show, we forgot to repeat any questions that haven't been answered yet. So, Jerry, what do you have?
Okay. What's the name of the woman on British currency who's been there on the currency for many years, decades, I guess, who's being replaced by Winston Churchill?
And it's not a royal.
No, it's not. She was a social reformer.
Oh.
So that's a big hint. And the other one, Detroit has just declared an $18 billion bankruptcy, but where is the country's second largest municipal bankruptcy? It's not a city, it's a county. And, is that all? I think that's all I have, I think.
All right. Leah.
No, I'm free. Okay. I'm done.
What was the...
Oh, I have a backward song.
All right.
Okay, which I'll play once more.
Okay. Nope. What was the first U.S. magazine to reach 1 million subscribers? That was in 1907. The magazine is still around. What was the first U.S. magazine to reach 1 million subscribers? It was in 1907. The best-selling U.S. song of the 19th century, it was an enormous hit, as you might imagine, was written late in the 19th century. It is also an official state song. What is it? The best-selling U.S. song of the 19th century is also an official state song. What is it?
Is the magazine Ladies' Home Journal?
It is Ladies' Home Journal. Very good. Very good, Jerry. Very good. Oh, yes. And all the characters in Harold Pinter's play No Man's Land, which is playing over in Berkeley, Hearst, Spooner, Foster, and Briggs have something in common. The names of the characters have something in common. Something that is very dear to Harold Pinter's heart.
Wheeling, West Virginia?
No. No, it's no.
Harold Pinter. I didn't know.
Charleston, West Virginia, I believe, is the capital of West Virginia.
Oh, darn.
Yeah.
Okay. And since the...
I know. Oh, no, that's not... Sorry.
All right. And since the newspaper crowd is here tonight, I will... I'll give you this question. I think you should... You'll probably knock this off pretty quick. I'll give you each two guesses. These are the 12 most common words in U.S. newspaper titles. So, in other words, the name of the newspaper. Okay?
Oh, okay.
So, you have the 12 most common words in the names of U.S. newspapers. Forget the or anything like that. The 12 most common words in the names of U.S. newspapers. I'll give you each two guesses.
Daily.
Daily is number one.
Times.
Times is number three. Another guess?
Evening.
No.
Most Chronicle.
Papers, most papers in the morning now. Chronicle,
that's
no.
True.
No?
No.
Hmm. Post.
Well, I'll take one of Debbie's, which is, she said Tribune in my ear. So
is that right?
I'm sorry, what was your other one? Post?
Post. She said
no, not Post.
I didn't
know.
News.
News, that's number two. Very good. Okay, those are your guesses. So these are the 12 most common words in U.S. newspaper titles. So far we have... Daily News, Times, Tribune. Sun, yes. Debbie says Sun. One of our guests said Sun. Did you have a guess?
Star.
What is it?
Star.
Star? No. Uh-uh, not Star. Yes, Star. I beg your pardon.
Tribune.
Very good. Tribune was gotten. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, Seed, and I wish you a very happy anniversary.
Oh, we miss you.
Thank you very much. Everybody was asking after you.
I really wanted to come, but something happens last minute. I will make it next year, even before, if you have another occasion.
Okay, thanks.
So I have an interesting question, which is, before, well, we know that Mount Everest is the tallest mountain on Earth. But before it was discovered, what was the tallest mountain on Earth?
You mean before people knew about Mount Everest?
Before Everest discovered, what was the tallest mountain?
What was the tallest mountain on Earth before Mount Everest?
Yeah.
So it wouldn't be a mountain in that area of the world then, would it? So not like, for instance, K2. It wouldn't be K2.
K2 actually is the second tallest.
Right, but if they didn't know about Mount Everest, K2, which is very close by, they wouldn't have known about K2 either.
In a very short of time, I said, what is the tallest mountain on Earth? It is Mount Everest. It still exists because we didn't discover it.
Oh, very, very good.
Excellent. Tricky guy.
Now we really do miss you.
Do you take me for a simpleton?
I do miss you. I really do miss you, too.
Great, great question.
Oh, I'll leave the time for other audience. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Eve. Bye-bye.
He endeared us even further.
That's right, yeah. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you.
James in Berkeley.
Hi.
Dana, you got me on the Jane Austen. So how about Gazette for one of the newspaper title words?
That is correct. Gazette. Very good.
Okay. May I leave a question for you?
Yes.
Or pose a question to you?
Yes.
There's an American film that starred Errol Flynn playing an Australian, who was, of course, an Australian. Do you know that film?
He played an Australian.
He played a
guy who came originally from Australia in Dodge City.
Are you saying that that's the title?
Yes.
It is not.
It is not. Well, they say that in the movie. He said he's originally from Australia.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So,
in this other film, he plays a sheep rancher who comes to the United States and tries to establish sheep ranching.
Okay, then it's probably Montana.
Yes.
All right.
Bellew.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Hello.
Hi, you're on.
Hi. Is the song Camptown Races?
It is not Camptown Races, no.
Oh. And what about the word dispatch?
Dispatch. No.
No, I don't think so.
All right. Well, happy anniversary.
Thank you. Appreciate it. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Hi, it's Peter in Glen Park.
Hi, Peter.
For newspaper names, how about Journal?
Journal, yes.
I was going to yell that out. Yeah. Right.
And for a 19th century song, how about Hail Columbia?
Not Hail Columbia.
Okay.
This is a pop song. This is really a pop song.
Oh.
The state, you're talking about the state song. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a pop song.
All right. Well, the only question I have for you tonight is, can I RSVP for the 25th anniversary
yeah,
party?
Yeah, by all means.
I'll be there.
Make your reservations now.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you very
Happy
much.
Happy anniversary.
Let me all try right. the state song. Deep in the heart of Texas.
No. Mm-mm. Ah. I don't care how much you hit the table. It's not that. And, yes.
Bulletin?
No. Uh-uh.
What was that?
What was your guess?
Bulletin.
Bulletin. Oh, bulletin on this. Okay. No, not bulletin. No. Press, yes. One of our guests press.
Yeah, yeah.
So press is correct. And Jerry, it's your turn.
Oh. Oh, okay. Let's see. What American writer wrote the first words spoken on screen by Greta Garbo? And they were, I may have to recuse you, Dana. Give me a whiskey, ginger ale on the side, and don't be stingy, baby.
Eugene O'Neill.
Very good. How'd you know that?
I know that.
You know the movie?
Yeah. I mean, I've seen the play.
Yeah. Anna Christie.
Anna Christie. Very good. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, let me run out one quick one. Okay.
Remove the leaves of your calendar for another question.
What famous food celebrity later was a celebrity, was featured on the first network TV cooking show in 1946, and it was not Julia Child.
Once more, just read the whole...
Jacques Pepin?
No.
47?
What later famous food celebrity was featured on the first network TV cooking show in 1946?
Later famous food celebrity?
Yeah, well, yeah, became famous much later. I mean...
So, but they when they appeared
on
the...
famous at the time.
Okay. But were they the star of the show, or just...
Yeah, yeah. Featured.
1947?
Yeah. 46.
46?
Very early.
So...
The first year of the TV, commercial TV was on, I think.
One of our audience guests, James Beard.
They would be correct.
Very
James
good.
James Beard.
Very good. Very good.
The show is called Elsie Presents James Beard and I Love to Eat.
Is that Elsie the cow?
It's a segment of NBC's For You and Yours, sponsored by Borden.
Yeah.
Very good. Very
excellent.
Good.
Excellent.
Excellent.
All right. Leah?
What's the only living animal with its common name the same as its scientific name?
Oh. Oh.
Read the first part of that again.
What's the only living animal with its common name, the same as its scientific name?
What do you mean living? Of course it's living.
Well, animals still not extinct.
Oh, I see.
This one of our guests suggests bison.
No.
No.
Hippopotamus.
Is that true of a bison, too? That's its scientific name, too? I don't know enough about it to say.
Leah, hippopotamus?
According to my source, which was...
One of our guests also suggests platypus.
No.
All right.
Mm-mm.
You didn't answer me about a hippopotamus.
No.
This is a short name, isn't it?
No, it's actually an animal. Here's a big clue in two words. Its name is expressed in two words. Maybe that's a question on its own. What animal's name is expressed?
Two words.
Mm-hmm.
It's a four-legged animal.
No, I didn't say
bigger than a bread
anything
box?
About it.
Well, that's important to know.
I ain't saying.
You ain't saying? Oh, so it's not. Oh, I mean, it may not be.
Human.
Hmm? Mm-mm.
Can't think of
that's
any.
That's not two words.
Sapiens.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. I have no idea. So let's move on. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Oh, cool. I think I have an answer to the question about the four characters in Pinter's No Man's Land.
Yes, good.
They're all the names of cricket players,
the
right?
Very famous names of cricket players, yes.
Oh, okay.
He is a cricket fanatic.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yay.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Yes, Hurst, Spooner, Foster, and Briggs are very famous old cricket players. Very good. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi.
Hi.
I've got a try for the 2 second bankrupt, the second bankrupt, second largest bankrupt country in
County. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm going to say either Merced, California or Montgomery, Alabama.
Montgomery, Alabama or Merced, California?
Well, it's Jefferson County, Alabama.
Well, that could be.
So that would include Montgomery, maybe.
It's
I don't
possible.
Know.
All right.
Anyway, that's
we'll
$4 billion. Thank you. That's good enough.
Okay.
We're feeling
thank you very much.
Generous
yes.
today.
All right. This is probably... I don't know. Is this easy enough for the last 8 minutes? What is the highest caloried individual item at any U.S. fast food restaurant?
Fried onion rings.
No. What is the highest caloried...
When onion flour.
No, it's not
I've
onion rings.
That.
Any variation of onion rings. What is the highest caloried individual item at any U.S. fast food restaurant? It's 1,680 calories.
You mean the actual meal?
It is one item. One item. Okay.
Over 1,000 calories?
Well over 1,000. Almost 2,000. Closer to 2,000.
But it's not like a double quarter pounder.
It is not.
No,
it is It is not even a meat.
Oh.
There is no meat involved. What is the highest caloried individual item in any U.S. fast food restaurant? There is no meat in it. Yes, one of our listeners got it. It is a milkshake. It is a chocolate, large chocolate milkshake.
Oh. At where?
It is at White Castle. We don't have White Castles around here.
No,
but,
we
don't. But it is White Castle.
I love White Castle burgers.
So run out and get your 1,680 calorie chocolate milkshake. Make sure
why
it's
don't
a large.
Why don't have a White Castle here? That's what I want to know.
Really?
That's a good question. Yeah.
Okay, there we go.
Okay.
And let's go to a call.
You can buy them in the supermarket, but they're not as good.
Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Is the state song Dixie?
It is not Dixie.
Oh!
God, we've got everything.
What about the alphabetical letter word? Did you get that yet?
40.
Yeah.
40, yes.
40.
40,
40
I was hoping it'd be 20, but I guess that doesn't work.
No.
Happy anniversary, you guys.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
We're still looking for the state with the capital, one of them, right? State with the capital.
Didn't we? Oh, that's right. We lost him, so we didn't get the last one.
I need one.
Okay. All right. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Howdy, is that me?
It is you.
Hello, this is Bob in Berkeley. First off, happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
And something wrong on this. Is it Missoula, Montana?
Missoula, Montana. For
Helena.
I think St.
Oh,
Helena
right, right,
the...
for the capital. No, that's Helena, Montana.
Yeah, yeah, that's the capital. All right, does it take me back to Old Virginia?
It is not. Oh. That's a very good guess, but no, it does not take me back to Old Virginia.
You realize Jefferson has come up twice in this show, but Utah has never come up, and you say Utah has to come up at least once every show.
Usually does, yeah. You're right.
Yeah. And you've got a great show and great questions. I got nowhere tonight.
Thank you very much.
And by the way, more lime jello is eaten in Utah than any other state.
Lovely.
So there you go.
We shoehorned it in.
Yeah, you, don't forget funeral potatoes.
All right.
Yeah. All righty then.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello, is this me?
It is you.
Oh, hey, me. It's Brian in San Francisco.
Hi, Brian.
Did you get all the names of the, or all the words in newspapers?
No, we have a couple left.
What about Monitor?
No.
World?
No.
Report?
No.
Oh.
I don't know what newspapers you're reading.
Well, all those obvious ones were taken.
Christian Science Monitor.
Christian Science Monitor. All right. Happy anniversary.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Iowa City, Iowa.
No. Capital of Iowa.
No, it's not.
No.
Iowa City is a
Des
capital
Moines
of Iowa.
Is the capital of Iowa.
But there's a capital building. I've been there. No.
No, Des Moines. Well,
maybe it was once.
Des Moines
upon
is
time.
The capital of Iowa. Is that not true? Thank you.
Des Moines is the capital?
Yeah, sure.
But there's
yeah.
a
You have well, a son that lives there.
I know.
You should know that. All right.
But and in Iowa City, there's this building with a big
Well,
dome.
It might have been.
I guess
an, maybe
was
it was
at one point.
An old capital. All right.
Yep.
Time to clean up here. What do we got?
Oh.
All right. The name of the woman who's being replaced on the British currency by Winston Churchill is Elizabeth Fry.
Wouldn't have gotten that.
Nobody ever heard of that. And that's all I have.
All right. Leah.
Okay. The only living animal with its common name, according to my source, is boa constrictor.
Oh,
that's good. Okay.
And the song was Blue Moon,
oh.
which goes...
Oh. Oh. That's Blue Moon.
No,
that's Blue Moon.
Okay. Okay. The best-selling U.S. song of the 19th century, which is also a state song, is On the Banks of the Wabash,
oh,
which is the
Wabash
Indiana
Cannonball,
state song. On the Banks of the Wabash.
What state is that, Indiana?
Yes. Yes, Indiana. Okay. The 12 most common words in U.S. newspaper. I'll just read the whole thing. Daily News, Times, Herald, Journal, Courier, Tribune, Press, Sun, Star, Gazette, and Record.
I think there's a newspaper that's actually called that.
I think so.
Because of the mergers.
And if we did not get your call, we do apologize. Please remember
Wait,
the Minds Ever
the
Matter.
Other, what's the other place?
What was the other?
That's...
What did we miss?
The other city.
The state with the
oh,
same letters.
I don't know. We'll have to work on it for next week. We'll do it for next week.
Did someone call that?
If we didn't get to your call, we do apologize. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Our thanks to everybody who's sitting in the studio, everybody who came to our party, everybody who listens to the show. It's a great pleasure to do the show for you. It's been 20 years. We hope we do it for a long time to come. Thanks on behalf of Jerry, Leah Garchik. My name's Dana Rodriguez. Our thanks to Debbie Kennedy and Steve Wilcott. And our thanks again to everybody here. Bye-bye.
Yes.
Ain't wrong, you're right. If it ain't dead, it's not.